there is any question or anything that wants to be said. So I was feeling today what happens when the carpet is pulled out from our feet and we find ourselves with the feet on the air. With no answer. There are specific times in life when that happened. And with that happening, there is huge possibility. But usually also big discomfort. Because it's almost unbearable to have our feet on the air and have no chair or bench or ground to stand. So we experience that very strongly in moments like when we experience the death of someone we love. For example, or depending on our intensity of search, we experience it also just by looking at a tree or at a flower and seeing through that which is and seeing through that and having no clue about anything about that flower. You know, like having no answer about how that flower came to be or why red is red, why green is green. You know, like just when we look with this kind of eyes, we are left on the air also. And we see how very quickly our system is not only the mind, but it's kind of a survival instinct. You know, the whole system jumps in to try to fill in the gap, try to weave again the carpet under our feet to to make sure we stand again on something we know and we can kind of comfort ourselves with a kind of a satisfying answer. You know, we see how quickly the whole system jumps into filling the gap. Big part of our own process here is the courage to not jump to fill the gap. Or at least to see this movement towards trying to fill the gap and laugh at it. It seems an extraordinary situation when we are left in the air. But actually, this is our ordinary situation. Like, this is our daily reality. Of course, we learned very well how to feel the gap, how to jump and make as if I know. No? So we could say, like, we learned to live in this mirage of continuity or somewhere this mirage or idea that things make sense and that, you know, we repeat to ourselves till we get convinced that, of course, after the night they will come. So we don't make the question again, like, you know, we just leave, knowing that after night they will come, they will come. And after spring, summer will come. And after summer, this autumn, and then winter. So we don't have to deal with the discomfort of not knowing. There is one thing that I remember very well as a child. Going to bed and really not knowing if the sun will come next morning. And I know all the statistics say that sun will come next morning, no? And that all the adults will try to convince me that sun will come next morning. But deep inside, what I know is that I don't know. And it wasn't necessarily like stressful, but just the sense of ultimately we are face to face with this mystery. And this is life. Trying to escape from this mystery is like building our own fort, no? Fort? Like our own palace to feel safe. And it is okay, no? We do that, and it's not like, you know, it's not to be blamed for that, you know. But to have this courage or to allow this question to be alive and to allow this intimate relationship with mystery. It feels to me that this will take us anywhere. Like this has no end, you know. This is to be alive. Like if we kill that, if we run away from that and accept our ideas and our theories and our kind of comfortable fort kind of resort lifestyle, then like our body will be still alive, like eating papadam and rice and all these good things, but somewhere we would not be alive. So to move from this fear of not knowing, which becomes like the result is that we freeze, no? We don't even dare to ask anymore, you know? We see like many people that have no questions, because every question had been put in a box, no? Had been kind of in the mind, had been, you know, question pops, and then yourself, you agree in an answer, an appropriate answer for that. So you put it in a box, and then it's gone forever. Unless something comes and stirs it up, you know. But many, many people live with a very good collection of boxes, like locked with a key. And life seems okay when things are in its place. So we can keep going. But what is it, you know, that makes us run away? So we run away to not face this mystery. But without realizing that this running away to not face mystery, it is actually very expensive, because we lose everything. So we do that thinking this is best. And in doing that, we lose our humanness, you know, this ability to rest in the unknown, this ability to be part of beyond reason. There is no reason why we should be alive. Not more than why a flower should be alive. So we cannot really like measure by reason. Like this measurement of value of life cannot be measured by reason. So to become more like to rewind somehow, to open up those boxes and those things that we thought they were solved, to actually, you know, put the key in the box and open it up. That could bring aliveness. There is the fear and also the huge possibility of aliveness. So this is always in life, no? But even more in the meditation process. I remember when I was sitting every day there, like practicing Zen in my house. The only place was like behind the door of my room. So of course, every single time I was sitting, my mom had to come in and bang with the door. So that was the situation. But I remember in that time also then people were asking, no, why are you meditating? And I used to say, during the day, I built up a castle. So I sit for half an hour so that the castle is put down. So at least to come back to the zero point, so where there is no building, so there is the world of possibilities again. And many times it's just that. The survival instinct builds up naturally. And we do have the possibility of looking straight to the eyes of our ideas and letting them dissolve. Even if next morning they will wake up again, no? It's not like they will disappear forever, no? But even if next day they wake up again with even more strength, still is worth like just this looking at the eyes of the idea and letting them be stupid, no? Like be empty, nonsense. Same with all these concepts that we keep kind of inviting, no, about how we should be, how we should behave, no. Letting this be secondary. Especially when we come to the ideas of no ego or be nice. The more I see these words and how these words are being used, especially in spiritual kind of circles, the more I see these as big trap, like big crap, big trap, no? Both at the same time. And how much effort there is in trying to match those ideas instead of looking in, and letting whatever needs to be burned, be burned. Meaning, like, instead of making an effort to try to gain that which I think I should gain, not giving attention to that which I think I should gain, and spending more time in this I don't know. Giving more space for possibilities rather than the rush of coming to conclusions or the safe zone. I know, next page, kind of. And that is kind of very difficult news at the beginning, no? When we say, actually, you will be left again and again without any ground under your feet. Like, depending how we hear that, we will all run out of the door. And yet, somehow, it feels to me that this is the beauty of life. This ongoing creation, this ongoing invention, having no clue about the next step. That is much more honest than thinking that I actually know where I go. But of course, it's not easy, because, you know, we are not trained to answer I don't know. I think especially in India, no? If you want to go somewhere, please don't ask local people, because no one will tell you I don't know. Everyone will tell you, yes, yes, mom, this way. Yes, yes, mom, that way. But very probably, like, it's very, like, possible that actually it's not this way or that way. They just didn't know, but couldn't say, I don't know. So we don't gain reputation by saying, I don't know. But we gain our heart, no? We gain our life. And just to see this tendency to, again and again, to want to come to a place of knowing, to want to grasp something. I think I said that some other times, but by now I think I said everything, so. I remember when we went to see the property that we bought in Spain. And of course, like, because I was tired of looking around places, so when we saw that place, we saw, like, we went in the little house, and I thought, so that's good, there is a house, and there is, you open the tap and there is water, no? So there is one bulb, so must be light, no? So from seeing a bulb, I went to must be light, somehow into there is light, electricity, you know? And like this, no? From opening one tap and seeing water following, coming, I thought, there is water, so water system is good. So there are tiles on the roof, so there is a roof, no? This is my conclusions, no? Seeing with optimistic eyes, no? Of course we bought the place because we couldn't buy anything else, no? And because we fell in love also with that place, that's also true. But two things are true, you know? So, and when we arrived there, suddenly it's like, aha. Yeah, this tap works, but none of the other tap work, you know. Yeah, there is one bulb, but this bulb is actually like 12 bulb, and it only works when the previous owner connects the cable to the battery of the car. So, like, you know, this, just to see, you know, like, with optimistic eyes and my conclusions, no? So the reality became that, okay, no problem. And also we need more space, so I'll build a room, no? So I thought it shouldn't be difficult to build a room, you know? People without studies can put together two bricks with cement in between, right? So I thought I should be able to do that, no? So I thought I sign up to do that. And then as I was doing that, I thought, well, if I want to make a new room, I have to probably bring electricity into this room. So I have to learn electricity. No? Then as I was putting electricity, I thought, if I put electricity, if I want a sink in this room, I should do plumbing to bring the water in. So I had to learn plumbing. No? And like this, no? If I want to put an iron beam, I have to learn to cut iron. And things like that. So I thought I was coming to an okay little house with everything, minimum, but everything. And as we went in to live, you know, with a 6-month-old child, which, you know, somehow we don't want many leakings with 6-month-old child, you know. Then that which seemed okay was not that okay. So I had to learn one thing, and then that thing led to the other one, and the other one led to the other one, and the other one to the other one. So I had so much fun learning all this. And they were moments of desperation also. Like when I built the first column and I stepped back to look at it and was like a snake. After like 4 days putting bricks one on top of the other. And of course, having no clue how to do this thing that people do, like this, like putting like this, the cement, so hands were totally like bleeding, you know. But this is life. And this is the process we are in. when we start looking in, we kind of have a guess, no? Like we guess we will find this something, no? At least a little house where we can live, no? At least, no? And then as we look closer, thinking that things will be better, we actually see the leak. And as we look even more closer, then we see that there is no electricity or any pipes descend or any door that actually locks. And it is so much like meditation. When we first have this rush into wanting to get something out of it, and having the sense of getting something, and then actually pulling that string and seeing nothing but more unknown. And that which we thought would be like a from here to here journey starts looking like an endless journey. And we do freak out sometimes when we see this endless looking journey in front of us. And all those boxes of ready-made answers, like having to be open and look through, they seem to grow every day. Instead of getting smaller, more boxes seem to pop up every day. More areas unknown to us seem to come to the surface. And of course, again, we do have the option to freak out. But usually, it doesn't help. But there is also this option of just playing with it. You know, I'm not a builder. This I know. So I can make mistakes. But I wish to try. I can go to the shop and ask, like, to buy bricks, which should be something simple, no? But then the answer is, which kind of brick you want? With holes like this, hole like that, you know, and they all have nicknames. Official names and nicknames, no? It's the whole world, you know. Now I can laugh with the other builders, no, about this. But at that point, you know, just give me something that looks like a brick, you know. And it could be actually fun. The first time you put this cement and look up in internet what is the proportion, and you find all these forums saying it is 1:4, no, it's 1:3, no, it's 1 3/4. And then whatever internet says and actually seeing yourself with the bucket, putting the cement and putting the sand and putting the water. And of course finding out that you put too much water and having to put a bit more of everything. So if we manage to actually not freak out, not to assume that I should know that, or of course by now I should be done with that, then it becomes a like a dance where you can celebrate these glimpses of wisdom that pop up here and there. And at the same time, celebrate that there is much more beyond those glimpses still to be revealed. So there is this movement between not knowing, feeling the lack. So feeling the stress of not knowing, because of the belief that I should know. And there is this other not knowing, which is a completely relaxed not knowing. And we can say, I don't know, without any sense that that should be different from what it is. In the Zen, they say that only a big doubt leads to a big awakening. So in a way, is this encouragement to keep this doubt alive. Keep this questioning. Just letting the questioning move from a question, like a circling nervous question that goes around the head wanting to and needing to have an answer, into dropping to, we can say, the belly, or somewhere deeper, more spacious, in which there is the question, but it doesn't need an answer. And even there is no question. Sometimes, many times, the most burning questions inside that moved us and took us everywhere, those questions that took us, make us take an aeroplane or go somewhere to find out, many times those very questions end up dissolving, like disappearing, rather than being answered. And it's not that we get rid of them, you know, and again, it's not that we put them in the box, but somehow, without having an answer, that gets answered. So there is a big, deep relaxation that goes with that. And that allows more and more opening, and more this sense of playfulness or somehow like divine dance. But for that, this love or juiciness, no, we say many times, needs to be there. We start to be able to smile within, in a way that when people ask, okay, so what did you find out in this trip to India? With this kind of, come on, you know. We can smile within. And we don't even need to, you know, give any answer or anything to please anyone. But we know the nourishment that we receive. We know that even if we don't have words for, we know that we have been honoring this humanness, this ability of wonder that we do have as humans. And that somehow, even today, when everything has a price, that still has no price. And no words. So, if there is any words, any question, yeah, anything. Yeah.
Thank you very much for the talk. There's two things in the talk, and like when I do them like separate, they both make a lot of sense to me. Like the one thing is there's this gap, and we have a big fear of facing it. And what we do all day is just filling this gap. This made a lot of sense to me. And sometimes I feel this fear, and it's really, really big and really exciting here. And then we talked about this thing that can carry us. We were talking about also a couple of times before, like this trust, this love, or however you want to call it. But what I felt now is that isn't this second thing a way of filling the gap?
Uh-huh.
Isn't it that if you really, really want to face this gap and not run away from it, you even have to drop this? Because this is a bit like a safe haven. It's a bit like, at least there is this trust. When everything goes wrong, at least I have that. And then you like fill the castle out of that. You dwell in this trust or in this, however you want to call it, this awareness or whatever, isn't it like a two-sided thing?
Uh-huh, good question, yeah. Yeah, this is one of the big traps, no? That I was saying, that would fall into the big trap, like to fill up with emotional love, you know? And that becomes an answer, like an automatic answer, or kind of drink something, you know. So in this way, when I say love, I don't refer to emotional love. So would be more like love. Like that juiciness that makes everything move, that makes everything possible. So it's not personal. It's very, very different from this sense of being loving and being nice and being, you know, all this is part of what I was mentioning, one of the biggest trap, you know, big, because it's almost impossible to go out of this, because everyone agrees that to be nice is very nice, no? So how you are going to say that sometimes to be nice is not that nice, no? Yeah, yeah, because it's not my own niceness or the sense of love, but is what I mean juiciness would be like there is. So when we face this gap, in the beginning, it is fear, because we cannot stand the not knowing, no. But as we allow ourselves and we invite ourselves to spend more and more time in this not knowing place, we can say like we get to feel safe there. We get to be in touch with something beyond reason. Beyond reason, and that holds everything, you know. So if we are connected to that, then it's not personal love, but it is this fluidity, you know. So there is, when we connect with that, then there is no stress in the gap. There is relaxation. Like we start to, you know, to not be afraid of this gap. Because we experience, like, again and again, this possibility of relaxing into that and not being in danger. But through the mind, if we relax, through the mind, if we face this gap, there is no way, we will freak out. But through experience, somehow, within that, we can find a place of deep relaxation. But of course, this is like only possible by spending time there, really spending time there. It's not like a one-time thing, you know, one-moment thing, usually. So this kind of connection.
to stay in the way you describe it alive, does mean stay in the place of not knowing.
Of not knowing?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And how this not knowing first is scary, and slowly, slowly it becomes a paradise, no? It becomes like a very, like the safest place to be, basically. Yeah.
If you don't stay attached with the mind in the place.
Yeah, of course. And if you live in the idea of not knowing, it's same, no? As it, then it's same crap, no? It's not like now we have to make a club and say like, you know, now this club, we live in the unknown, no? Like, but actually, just feeling the pull inside, no? When there is this falling into something bigger or new, and we see this, the whole system jumping into holding it, you know, into not going there. To see this contraction, to feel this contraction within, and just, if it's possible, in that very moment, just to choose or to give the chance to relax into that.
Can you relate comfortably with something you don't know exactly how it's going to turn out? And as you were saying, I kind of live there sometimes. So you don't know anyway. And so you might as well accept that. But that's really hard. I mean, you know, it's like the last plane reservation that I had coming down here that was available arrived at 11:30 at night. And I thought, I don't know what would happen when I get there. Can I find a reasonable room? Will I have to put out, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 rupees on a room? And all of this. And so what I did was I just worried about it. I thought, oh, that was a big mistake. You know, you're probably going to end up having to pay this. You don't have a lot of money, extra money, whatever. So I ended up worrying about it, and then it worked out okay. I got a very cheap room, but I don't know. I went through a lot of discomfort about it, and then when it was over, and it was just everything was okay. But I don't know how to feel comfortable with the discomfort.
But you know, like one way is that you don't need to feel comfortable in the discomfort. You know, because part of what I'm saying also is that the system jumps in to make situation comfortable. But we can give space also for this discomfort. Like in this case also, like you can accept the nervousness of not having a room, for example. And just be honest with that, like, as you are. You are allowed to feel nervous because you don't have a room when you arrive at 11:30 at night. You know? And at the same time, like, you also know that ultimately it will be okay. Because you have been millions of times in this situation also. And because once you bought the ticket, there is no really other option. So you can feel this, no? The contraction coming in and the possibility of, like, not choosing this contraction. Like, okay, my system wants to freak out, and even so, I can choose to try to feel that best will come. You know, you can play with that also.
But then, you know, as we've talked about several times, our natural tendency is to feel negativeness about it. Well, something bad will happen. I'll lose a lot of money. And things like that.
Yeah.
I guess you can decide to listen to that or not listen to that.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
Yeah. It is hard. It is hard sometimes, but to feel this choice also, no? To feel that you have the choice also, to worry or not to worry, sometimes. And sometimes you just experience yourself worrying. And that is okay also. Like, you have permission also. And hopefully by, you know, and hopefully by learning from life, we can slowly, slowly, even in a situation where we should be worried about, like, find ourselves relaxed. Like, not through pushing to be relaxed, you know, but somehow that can also happen. Like, we find ourselves relax in a situation where, through the mind, we shouldn't be relaxed. That you also experienced that many times. Yeah. So we can be just in silence for a few minutes together. may we all honor this human quest to the best of our ability. And we may all embrace mystery instead of spending our energy to run away from it.